Ruth chapter 4, today on Through the Word, as we come to the climax in our story of love and redemption. The book that began with despair has seen the shining light of hope. But we're not home yet. We left off with Ruth and Boaz almost ready for marriage. But we hit a snag. Boaz, noble guy that he is, insists on doing things the right way. And there we stopped. How important is it to you to do the right thing in the right way? Or what if it's someone else doing something for you, something big? Does it matter how they do it? For example, let's say that the right someone proposes marriage to you. Does it matter how they propose? Whether they show respect to you or to your parents? Or what about Jesus? When Jesus saved you, did it make a difference how he went about it? Here in Ruth 4, Boaz has the opportunity of a lifetime to do the right thing, to marry the girl he loves. But will he do it the right way? And what if doing things the right way means risking everything, even losing the bride that he's trying to save? The law of the guardian redeemer provided for Ruth by arranging that a near kin of her deceased husband would marry her. Boaz was the right guy, but he wasn't the only guy. Another man fit the bill, and as a closer relative, he had first right to marry Ruth. Should Boaz tell the other guy? It's the right thing to do, but will he risk it? Let's check in at verse 1. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. So Boaz decides to do it right. He knows that if you want God to bless your relationship, you'd better do things God's way, according to God's rules. And as the man, he took the initiative on doing things right. Let that be an example to you men. Now the town gate was the place to settle official business, and Boaz gathered 10 elders to serve as witnesses. In the Bible, 10 is the number of law, like the 10 commandments, and that's important. Then in verse 3, Boaz tells the first redeemer about the land that belonged to their relative, Elimelech. As the next of kin, one of them had to keep the land in the family. The humility of Boaz shines through in verse 4 as he tells the man, "I come after you." The man is interested, and he agrees to redeem it. Then the catch. Let's read at verse 5. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." So Boaz lays it all on the line. The land comes with a girl, and redeeming it is all or nothing. I can almost feel Boaz holding his breath here as he puts his cards on the table and puts the fate of his girl in God's hands. Verse 6. At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." And there it is. Boaz can breathe. The decision is made official when the first redeemer removes his sandal and hands it to Boaz. As it says in verse 7, this was a Jewish manner of attesting to make it legal. And speaking of legal, let's break from our story for a moment to consider the bigger story. What do all the legal actions here tell us about Jesus? So far in our typology, we have Naomi as a picture of Israel, and Ruth a picture of Christians. Ruth was an outsider, but she came to know Naomi's God, the God of Israel. Boaz is the savior in the story. He is an awesome picture of Jesus, an Israelite who saves outsiders, and our mighty and awesome Redeemer. But was there anyone or anything that had the first chance to redeem us before Jesus? Think about that for a moment. Before Jesus could save us, there was the law. That's the picture of the first kinsman. The law of God gave complete directions for righteous living, and complete righteousness meant eternity in heaven. Just one problem. No one got it right. There is none righteous. We are sinners. We have broken God's laws, and we cannot cover up our sin by trying to follow the same law that we already broke. In other words, following rules will never make a bad man good. Like the 10 elders in our story, the 10 commandments stand as witness. We are guilty. And like the first kinsman, the law simply cannot redeem us. We need a better redeemer. That redeemer is Jesus. And what about Jesus? Did he ever have an opportunity to take the easy way out as Boaz did? To take his bride and run without fulfilling the law? Think back when Jesus was tempted by Satan. When Satan showed Jesus in an instant all the kingdoms of the world and said, "I will give you all their authority and splendor." That was the big prize. That's what Jesus came for, to be our king. Only this was the easy way. No cross. Just skip the legalities, bow to Satan, and run off with your bride. No cross and no redemption. But Jesus did it right. He fulfilled the law and paid the price in full. And he got the prize. Remember all of that authority that Satan promised him? After he rose, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." See, Jesus saved us not by breaking the law, but by fulfilling it. What does that mean for us? It means that we don't have to live on the run from the law. In Christ, we never have to live in fear that the law will catch us somewhere down the road and remind us of some old sin. Our sin is paid for. We live at peace with God and at peace with our past, legally and fully redeemed. Back in our story, Boaz announces to the 10 elders that they stand in witness that Elimelech's property is redeemed at full price. That means Naomi would be provided for as well. And then in verse 10, "I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses." Now, if you don't like this phrase that Boaz acquired Ruth to be his wife, remember that the word redemption was used for purchasing a slave in order to set them free. And in the same way, Jesus bought you at a price in order to set you free. Also notice in verse 10 that the name of the dead will not disappear. What was that name? Elimelech, God is King. And in the same way, our redemption in Jesus means that the legacy and the name of God is King will not disappear. Well, the elders give their blessing. And in verse 13, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son." The story ends with an epilogue of sorts. Sort of like the little "where are they now" at the end of a movie. It's not a happily ever after. That only happens in fairy tales. Real life is messier than that, and redemption runs deeper than that. The happy ending in Ruth's story is a genealogy. It may seem like a footnote to you, but think about what it meant to Naomi, the woman whose name was pleasant, who walked away from God's people and God's plan when times got hard. The woman who lost her husband and both her sons. The woman who went out full and came back empty. Who went out pleasant and returned bitter. Naomi has a grandson. She has a little baby boy named Obed. And she has a legacy. Naomi's story is redeemed. Now, the genealogy here is not incidental. It is a critical piece in the greatest genealogy of all. Ruth's son was Obed, and his son was Jesse, and his son was David. See, the story of Ruth was probably told to King David when he was a young boy, because it was the story of his great-grandmother, and it was probably told some generations later to another great-grandson in Naomi's line, born right there in Bethlehem, born to be King of Kings and Redeemer of all. Read Ruth 4 today, and take some time to think about your own redemption story. Remember the hopeless mess that you came from, the price that Jesus paid to satisfy the law and make you his own. And consider the hope and the legacy that God has given you now. then you can say, as the women said to Naomi in verse 14, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer."
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. You can find this chapter and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.